And that is the Jana Gana Mana, the national anthem of India. Earlier this month, an Indian author was detained and charged with sedition, accused of disrespecting this song in a Facebook post. Those charges have since been dropped, but in recent weeks, 12 people were arrested at a movie theater, accused of not standing for the anthem, disobeying a Supreme Court ruling that everyone must, and that the anthem must be played in theaters. Here in the U.S., there's been controversy over some athletes taking a knee during the anthem, not standing in protest of racial inequities. That and the news from India got us thinking about anthems. So who better to call than Alex Marshall, author of Republic or Death, travels in search of national anthems. He joins us from London. And Alex, how far and wide have you gone to hear anthems?
Far too far, I think most people would say. I've traveled everywhere from Japan to Paraguay, South Africa to Kazakhstan. These songs are just so vital, which most people don't understand. They sum up our feelings about nationalism and our countries, but they can also stir passions, both positive and negative.
Well, it's with that in mind, let's talk about what's happening in India. I mean, all the way to the Supreme Court. How is the anthem getting to the Supreme Court?
It's actually a rather long story, which may give inspiration to any busybodies listening. It goes back to 2002 when a man called Shyam Chusky, who's a retired engineer, went to the cinema and saw a comedy which involved playing the anthem. And he stood up for it instinctively, and no one else did. He looked around and everyone was just telling him to sit down. They couldn't see the screen. And he found this so offensive, he started protesting outside the cinema at first, but then he took it to the courts. And over this very long process, he finally found some judges who agreed with him that people need to stand for the anthem at all occasions, which led to this, in my opinion, frankly, bizarre Supreme Court judgment that all cinemas must play it before screenings. The fact a week after announcing this, the Supreme Court issued a second clarification saying that that did not include disabled people, and also cinemas did not have to lock their doors to force people to witness the anthem, kind of suggests it wasn't that well thought through in the first place.
Well, but what has been the reaction? Because we understand, for instance, in the case of the author who posted something on Facebook, people, students, turned him in. So obviously some people support it.
I mean, the anthem has been a flashpoint in India for a number of years, rather reflecting sort of growing nationalism in the country and the tensions between different religions and ethnicities there. At least going back 4 years, people have been thrown out of the cinema when they haven't stood because it has been played in some regions. People have been beaten up for not doing it. And that, unsurprisingly, since this judgment, there's been an incredibly mixed reaction. You've had some people who are all for it and think it's a sign of Indian strength and everyone should be proud in this song. Of course they should stand. But other people have just said, what on earth is this about? If we have to stand, why aren't they playing the anthem at the start of court hearings? Mm. What's so special about a cinema?
Well, this is why in this country, this has always been historically why there's no law here, because first of all, you just go down that rabbit hole. And secondly, it's supposed to be coming from within your heart, not imposed from the outside. But what do you make of just we're going to listen to some more anthems from around the world. But what do you make of the controversy in this country over athletes like Colin Kaepernick kneeling during the anthem, the football player kneeling rather than standing?
I'm actually really behind it because I think people should use these songs for what they believe in. And he's highlighted that it can be used to draw attention to issues. And if he believes in it that strongly, I think he should. You get examples of anthem protests all around the world, but you also get plenty of examples of people singing them proudly to make a point. I mean, if you look at the sort of Ukraine protests a few years ago, people gathered in Maidan Square in Kiev and sung their anthem, Ukraine's Not Dead Yet, on the hour, every hour, to say, we are this country. That's why we want to take power. And so these songs can mean all sorts of different things to people. And I think it's important that we, you know, realize that and respect that use.
Well, and while he may want to take the knee to make his point, there are so many people who sing it out loudly in the U.S., and that affects other people. You met someone from another country who almost couldn't even speak about the line, the home of the brave and the land of the free, in our song, which some people take for like, oh, my God, that's where they start yelling at sporting events. But it means something.
When I was traveling in America, I thought perhaps the most interesting encounter, one of the most interesting encounters I had was I just went to meet the composer of Nigeria's national anthem, who happens to be a professor at the University of Delaware. And I obviously asked him at one point, he turned out to be a naturalized American citizen. So I asked him what does America's Anthem mean to you? Expecting him to go, oh, it's nothing. You know, I wrote Nigeria's. I believe in Nigeria more than anything else. And he told me when he gets that line, he realised exactly what America had given to him. You know, it'd given him an opportunity which he couldn't have got at home. It's given him a life. It's given him a, you know, a family. And he said it might sound like the world's worst cliche. And in my opinion, it is the world's worst cliche. It's like an advertising slogan. But to him, it rung true. And when I heard that, it was actually a genuinely affecting moment.
Right. Well, and because it is the land of the free, you don't have to stand. And it's because you want to be the land of the free and not like Kazakhstan, for instance.
Yes. There are a few countries which are almost India's example, India's following, I suppose. One of them is Kazakhstan, where in 2012, an athlete was accidentally misplayed the fake Kazakh anthem from the film Borat. And they didn't seem to notice, which is slightly worrying given all the lyrics of things like Kazakhstan has the best prostitutes in the region, except, of course, for Turkmenistan.
Well, I was referring to the fact that it's ruled by a strong man, President Nursultan Nazarbayev,
he co-wrote it. And that's probably why when this incident happened and when a subsequent one happened, when they played Living La Vida Loca, Ricky Martin's song, by accident, this law was immediately passed saying anyone who insults the anthem gets a year in prison.
And let's listen to a little of the Kazakhstan anthem written again by the president of the country, who's, by the way, got statues of himself all over the country. Let's listen. Okay, Alex Marshall, we've set this up so that you could say how awful this is that he wrote this song.
I actually quite like
but,
it.
That's right.
The best thing. It's not bad. It does a trick. And the worst thing is I went to Kazakhstan expecting everyone to say, oh, dear God, this is awful. But even opponents of his regime, we would talk for, you know, hours about all the horrific things that have happened in the country. And I'd get to the song and they'd just go, do you know what? It's actually quite good. It's far better than the one we used to have.
By the way, do you know some of the lyrics?
There are things like the chorus is, my country, as your flower I will be planted, as your song I will stream, my country, my native land, my Kazakhstan. He should have really put in a few references to himself in there, you get the feeling.
But to his credit, he didn't. Japan, a lot of tension around the national anthem there. Let's just listen to a little first. Now, Japan didn't change its national anthem after World War II. Germany and Italy did, to separate themselves from their part in the war. There was a lot of controversy. Some school teachers still refused to stand for it. But now, do we understand you can lose your job for not standing?
It depends where you are. But basically, teachers refused to stand for this for about, you know, literally been 70 years now. And in about the late 80s and the early 90s, politicians started to get fed up with this protest. And so they increasingly started passing laws saying if you don't stand, you will be punished. And in the worst case, a woman, you know, she was fined a month's wage, then 3 months, then six. She was moved to school sort of 200 miles away from her home. So she was forced to commute for hours every day. And, you know, it seems bizarre because it is only a few people. And it's almost a complete suppression of freedom of speech and this desire that in Japan everyone has to work for the group, and it says an awful lot about that country, and I feel very sorry for the few handouts who are just trying to make a moral stand.
Just before we let you go, Alex Marshall, I mean, there's so much power to a national anthem. I mean, I you know, get tears, and yet you can also see how a national anthem, even though you might profoundly love your country, might represent a time in history as it does in Japan, or a lack of freedoms as it might to people in America who still don't feel they've achieved those freedoms. I mean, we can see how it's so much more important than we think it is what I'm trying to say.
I mean, that's what I think is the fascinating thing about these songs. When you dig under them, you suddenly reveal all these hidden meanings, these hidden histories. And that's why I think we should sort of look at them afresh and realize, almost take advantage of these sort of flashpoints to reassess them. And if we perhaps think about them more, we might decide if they are the right anthems for us. I mean, personally, my anthem, God Save the Queen, I think is an appalling song.
Not that you don't love the Queen.
I love the Queen. And I think, but it's, you know, it's musically and lyrically lyrically so drab, and it says nothing about, it's actually not really a national anthem. It doesn't say anything about the United Kingdom, Great Britain, England. It just says we have a queen and we'd like her to rule for a long time. And in a way, it'd be nice if we had a song that actually talked about the country. I don't think we obviously couldn't steal Land of the Free and Home of the Brave for you. Maybe the Land of the, you know, slightly mediocre might work better for us. But it would be good to have something that talked about the people.
That's Alex Marshall, author of Republic or Death, Travels in Search of National Anthems. Alex, thank you.
Thanks very much.
Now, it's America. We don't have to stand for this anthem, but we hear the Queen has a terrible cold, so perhaps we will.